Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, we're back. He's back. I'm back. We are back. We're together. Bo Rude, Nicholas Allenbaugh, midweek pod, Michigan week. You have, just hold that thought, because I got to tell you about our good sponsors, Pella Windows and Doors. You might be doing some things with Pella Windows and Doors. We don't want to say anything, but you might be doing some things with them. They are fantastic. Okay. You need to check out the showrooms. Lincoln, Omaha, really helps you go in there, really get a feel for what you're installing into your home. Pella Omaha.com is the website. Holler at them. They're great people. And Shoot 360 Lincoln. It's a membership-based basketball training facility. What separates us? The NBA level technology incorporated in everything we do. You're getting objective feedback on every single rep. We got shooting bays, think batting cages with basketball hoops. You can get up 300 plus shots in 30 minutes. We got skills courts, ball handling, passing. Tighten up your game out there with handles. Become a member. Train like a pro. Shoot360.com/Lincoln. Shoot360.com/Lincoln. Before we talk any football, can I throw this at you?
Yes.
I think I know where you're going to land on this. Did you see the news coming out of it? Sounds like the writer's strike in Hollywood is potentially coming to an end.
Yes.
Okay. And there was some rumblings that The Office is potentially going to do a reboot.
Wow.
That the old showrunner is reportedly, like, he would be back involved. My thought on this is, like, I usually am one of those guys, like, something that was really good, let it sit.
Yeah.
But to me, if you can get Steve Carell and Krasinski and Rainn Wilson, basically, if you can get Michael, you can do it.
You do it. It's funny you say that now, because was that Friday when everybody was golfing that we talked about it?
Yes.
Yes. When we said, like, of all the shows of our era, like, The Office is going to a level, I think, that nothing can really touch it. It's like it's past. It's like coming to its 20-year mark, where, like, when the show aired was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But I think generationally, our generation, the generation a little bit older than us, and downwards to teenagers now, it's a universal. Like, everybody loves The Office, and it's not getting, there's no aging like that's going bad. It's just, it's getting almost better.
Yes.
Like, I think pretty impressive.
Yeah. But for me, I'm like, I actually think the show could still work if they just somehow got everybody back into the office.
So that's the key. So to me, it's like, you can't do it without, if Krasinski and Dwight and Andy Bernard, Pam, now Michael Scott's the, if it's Michael Scott and none of the other people, you still do it.
If you can get Michael Scott
you
in,
you still do it.
You
it
have
doesn't
to
matter.
Do it. Yes.
Steve Carell is, everybody else amazing. Steve Carell is Michael Jordan. He's the Michael Jordan of sitcoms. Right. Like, that's how good he was in that show. But if you can get him, Krasinski, Rainn Wilson, and even, you know, the Nard Dog, like, it's doesn't matter who else is there. The question is if you can't get Michael Scott and you can't get Dwight,
to me,
they'll do it with.
If they can get Nard Dog and maybe some other people, maybe they do it. But I'd rather, I am usually kind of anti, like, leave the past in the past.
Yeah.
I am pro this. If you can get Steve Carell, Krasinski, Rainn Wilson, you need Pam. Like, to me, those are the, if you can get those four.
Yeah. I think it's like, if you said you could do Seinfeld again with the same cast, you probably still do it. I just don't know. Like, yeah, I mean, that's almost like where Curb's been great. It's like the Seinfeld, but steroids. Yeah. So you almost don't need it. But they kind of did their little Seinfeld reunion on that. But I've also heard, isn't there rumblings about Friends potentially trying to do that?
Yeah, maybe
like full cast. And I think that's another one that would be more interested to see how Friends plays now.
Because
like a new written show, like new episodes of Friends. Because I actually think if you give all the Office cast, that model destroys. The Friends is the old school, like multi-camera, where it's like you walk in, the crowd goes, woo!
Yeah,
you know, right. And then it's like,
right. I don't know.
Applause and laughter.
Yeah, I don't know, like, if that, there aren't very many shows like that anymore.
There's less of those. I still think it can work, but it's definitely not, it's a different model.
And it feels like Friends was like a frozen in time, like sort of situation for those characters too. Like, does it work? Like, what are they all? They're all married now. And like,
they're all married and they can't do what they used to do.
What they used to do. And but I kind of think, honestly, so it'd be like Michael Scott and Holly. There just has to find a way that, like, you know, David Wallace needs, you know, Dunder Mifflin needs Michael and Holly to come back and run the Scranton branch. Like, it worked. Like, it kind of, all you need is, like, you don't have to outthink yourself. Like,
Jim has been promoted. He's now at a different, or somebody's at a different company.
Right.
You've got your, like, where Seinfeld and Friends is like, they lived in apartments across the street, across the hall from each other.
Yeah.
And they were single and went to the Central Perk every single day.
Yeah.
Well, when you got kids and you live in the suburbs, it's like, what's your central meeting place? That every day you start the episode at either the apartment or Central Park, one of two, 99% of the episodes.
And for The Office, it was just in the office,
but you can still do that.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not as complicated the way they left it. It's not as complicated to just get everybody back together as you think it is.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It just would be, I got excited about it. Like, I'm not sure there'd be a TV event, like if like, let's say, yep, it's happening, and Carell, Krasinski, Rainn Wilson, they're all in, like, I would be beside myself excited.
Yeah, what's funny about that show is I watched it from the first episode live. Like, I watched it, I literally watched it every week,
every Thursday.
I never missed it.
Yeah, see, I didn't watch it.
Then we got TiVo.
Yeah.
And so I watched it live. We got TiVo. And so I never missed really episodes. So it was one of my own, like, life shows that I got to experience live in the moment. And I wasn't missing, you know, or sometimes it was more like a lot of Seinfeld was.
Yeah. Seinfeld was a reruns. Little before our time, too.
It was like we were a little young.
I vividly remember, though, because like Thursdays on NBC, it was Friends and Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Was huge.
But you remember, by then we're 11, 12 years old in the mid 90s.
Right.
We're still a little young for those shows. We're like, they were good, but we were a little above our heads.
For sure. For sure. And so I don't know. I wanted to start the show being like, it's very, very exciting. I think Steve Carell's the key. Like, I think my guess is the showrunner will only do it if Carell. My guess is Krasinski will only do it if Steve Carell. Everybody would, because they talk, all those people talk about how, like, they've never had more fun when they were doing that show. And so I wonder
and they've all gone through the cycle. Like, if the cycle is this, that was all their first, like, monster show that they all did, and it got huge. They all went off and did movies.
Right.
And I mean, Carell went huge for, a decade after he got going in The Office. Krasinski then went huge for a handful of years. Rainn Wilson had a moment. Nardog
had a moment.
Had the Hangover. Yeah. And then they all are like, I feel like they're coming down from all of that, where they're like, oh yeah, what's the best thing we ever did? It's The Office.
Yeah.
It's the thing that they're all going to be known for, the most lasting thing. And I think maybe they've come around where, like, they wanted to get away from it maybe for a bit, and now they're like, this is the best
thing. So fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed for it. Okay. Just wanted to take a few minutes to talk some non-football stuff. Want to look back real quick before I look forward. A little bit how I felt after the Minnesota game. I want to start with this, where, like, I am torn on my reaction to the Louisiana Tech game, because, like, as the dust had settled, and really it was a YouTube chat comment on our YouTube that somebody just simply wrote, winning sloppy is the start to winning clean. And I was like, you know what? He's kind of right. Like, I felt like, I don't want to speak for you. I felt like I was kind of hard, like reflecting on like how we approached our recap pod. Like, were we too hard on them? Like for a team that hasn't went to a bowl game in 6 years, hasn't had a winning season in 4 years. They just won. They rushed for 300 yards. And we kind of turned on the mics and went, yeah, but. And so I'm just, I don't know. Like, I have thoughts on that, but I wanted it like.
This is tough because I would say we were harsh. I guess, though, I at this point don't know how else to do it, because I think maybe we've used a lot of our just blind optimism. We've used that up, and now it's a more like realistic. We're kind of just like, this is what we're seeing. And if it doesn't feel like it's in the right direction, I think it's still hard to be like, it's all going to be okay. I just am like, I don't know. I have no idea.
You know what? we're Simpsons fans. Shouts out to Homer Simpson and the whole crew. You know what it was? It's almost a little like, remember Hurricane Nettie? Ned Flanders finally like snapped.
Yeah.
Where it was like, we've all been Ned Flanders for the past five seasons. I'll be like, you know, Nebraska is like, Oakley Dokley, no yeah. problemo. Yeah, we will no, find a way okay, to yeah. riggedy run the ball and it'll be just fine. And all of a sudden, like, remember, then Ned snapped.
Yeah.
And that's how it, because you're right. Like, it's hard to muster up. And again, this is where I feel bad, because Rule is having to bear the cross that has nothing necessarily to do with him. But we're all having a hard time continuing to Ned Flanders this situation.
Wasn't Flanders like, didn't he have to be like spanked for spanked for a whole year, and then Flanders finally like was like, oh, okay.
Because remember, he was kind of a problem child. It was a flashback. Flanders was kind of a problem child. They had a very, very controversial way to curtail that. He literally got spanked. They have a window where it shows the four seasons. You were right. A beach ball comes in.
He hits the ball back out the window and continues. Oh, yeah.
And so then that was like created the Ned persona of like, okay, you know, just eternal optimist, happy as a lark, all that
good
stuff.
Good kid. Yeah, good boy.
But you're right. Like, it's harder to find that. And maybe I've often found how you and I feel is usually how our audience feels, because we're all Nebraskans, Nebraska fans. Like, how we usually feel in here is how a lot of people feel. I agree. It's because it's one of those things where it's like, it's hard to know as we're watching these games when to react like, hey, a win is a win and let's just be happy with a win.
I know how I feel. I know my answer to that. If it's a Big Ten game, a win is a win to me.
Oh, okay.
If it's non-con against
La Tech,
I think I'm more critical.
Okay.
If we played as terrible as we played against Minnesota, and they slipped and fell down and fumbled the end zone, and we jumped on it, won the game.
Right.
I've been like, okay, like, win's a win. You know, same way with Colorado. The first half, you're like, what was that? But we, you know, stumble our way into a win. I go, a win's a win. Cause like they're more important wins.
I didn't have an answer for that.
I think for me, it's if it's a Big Ten win or a good non-con, but like if it's like the La Tech games or, you know, Georgia Southern, like,
okay,
I am going to be more critical. I think I think that's my approach. I would skew if we beat Northwestern. I go, hey,
yeah, whatever. Yeah, I don't care if you win the game 2-0.
W in the Big Ten. That's my I think how I judge.
I think so. There you go. So you have criteria in your head, which is great, because I'm not sure where. Well, but that's great though. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes that's why. Like, sometimes I don't know how I feel, and then we get to talking, and I'm like, you know what? I found how I felt about it, and. Yeah. So I don't know when to be like, hey, a win is a win, versus when where it's like, hey, there's a standard of good football. And if something isn't hitting that mark, you got to be honest and say it, because it is hard to, like what you're saying. It is challenging to move the goalposts mentally in real time of sliding back and forth between that of like, don't care how it looks. Don't care if it's crappy. If you win, thumbs up, versus ultimately you have to start playing good football that you see it going somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to start with that, where I was like, man, like
we were
a little hard,
a little negative. And I think I do kind of feel bad about being negative.
But no, I like what you, I like our honesty here.
I don't like being negative in general. Especially after a win, it feels a little, but like, I guess that's my snap judgment is, I think that's how I feel.
I like it. I like that you at least have like, you're ahead of me, partner, because I have no rhyme or reason behind it.
I have specific criteria for every situation.
I got nothing. I'm like, you know what? I just am upset today. You know what? I'm not upset today. Like, that's all I got for it. The other thing I wanted to hit on, sometimes you're not into this stuff, but
TikTok challenge? Bing, bong, bong, ping, tong.
Hee, ha. There's an interesting lesson going on right now, where there's a lesson with Nebraska starting quarterback and running back that for all you kids out there listening, you need to keep in mind. And that is, sometimes you just got to hang in there. Sometimes you just got to hang in there, whether it's in the season or in your career. There's something to be said for hanging in there and not getting too down and throwing in the towel. And sometimes it isn't going to work out. Sometimes a door might open. And if you throw in the towel, when that door opens, well, guess what? You're not ready to run through that door. Imagine if someone would have told you a year ago, you'd be arguing for Heinrich Harburg to start against Michigan.
When you had Casey Thompson and you had Jeff Sims.
And Chuba Purdy. And
Logan Smothers.
Like, he wasn't even, he was fifth. If I'm not mistaken, he wasn't even on the travel roster last year.
Yeah.
He was entertaining in the offseason a position change. I remember in a press conference.
He caught a ball against Minnesota.
You're right. He caught a pass against Minnesota.
He was tied in against Minnesota.
I remember it was either Mickey last year or Whipple kind of chuckled at the notion when they were going through their quarterback struggles, chuckled at the notion of Harburg getting thrown out there.
Yeah.
Well, who's chuckling now?
Yeah.
He's house calling long runs, and he's the starting quarterback. Now, we'll get into what happens this Saturday. My guess is when that ball's kicked off against the number two ranked team in the country and Jim Harbaugh, Heinrich Harburg is your starting quarterback.
Yep.
Hang in there, okay?
Hang in there. Yeah, I like that.
Imagine if after the Minnesota and Colorado game, you'd be saying, you know, Anthony Grant is arguably the most valuable player on the team heading into the Michigan game. Someone would have been like, what?
Yeah, this kind of, like, think 3 weeks ago. Think if we were to tell ourselves this 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, okay, wow. What's happened in 3 weeks, yeah. Right?
Now, again, a lot. Like, but it's, he was third string. Rule said he had a fumble issue. He fumbles late in the fourth quarter at Minnesota, proved to be the kind of the play that turned everything, and they lose that game. He DNP'd at Colorado, did not play at Colorado. And now I could build a case. There is no more valuable and important player, not best, valuable and important player,
yeah,
than Anthony Grant. Hang in there.
Yeah.
Hang in there. So I thought those two things were interesting. And I also would love to look in the camera and say, Jeff Sims, hang in there, man. I know you're the whipping boy. I know people are making funny memes about the amigo stuff and all that. Like, hey, hang in there, dude.
That's hard to do in this era, though, is like,
yes, people are not built to hang in there.
They're
as much
not.
Anymore.
It's like it's a very fragile mindset of like when it goes wrong, like I think people just like lose confidence, and it's just like it's almost like a checkout thing.
Yes.
You know, versus like if you do hang in there, like you just don't know when the opportunity comes, and you just gotta be ready for the opportunity. And yeah, that's harder. It's easier said than done, but
it's very there had to have been some tough days walking home from the practice facility for Heinrich Harburg last year, going, man, like, is this place, like, is something, how am I going to get on the field?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fifth string. What's going to happen? There had to have been, I'd have to imagine when Anthony Grant got on the bus at Minnesota, probably feeling pretty shitty. And I have to imagine when Anthony Grant took off his shoulder pads and everything and didn't even, no grass stain on him, no nothing. When he got on that bus after that game to leave Folsom Field, was probably feeling pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Well, guess who's going to line up against Mother Michigan? Those two cats. So I guess I'm like, you're not into like when people are like, the lesson is, but it's kind of like a cool, like to me, that's like a it's a good lesson for everybody. Like fucking hang in there, man.
Yeah.
Like keep fighting, keep preparing. You never know. And so, So I thought that was interesting. The other thing I don't know if you and I have talked about this. Thinking about the quarterbacks, it is very interesting. I have no idea what Nebraska wants to be on offense long term. Where I get that right now you have to run a system that fits what you have, but it is interesting to me that Matt Rhule and Marcus Satterfield chose Jeff Sims. And then what then makes it more interesting is that then they went out and chose Daniel Kalen from Bellevue West. Daniel Kalen and Jeff Sims are not very similar quarterbacks.
Yeah.
From what I know of Kalen, he's more of like a pure pocket pro style QB, where Jeff Sims, as we've watched, is more of a dual threat, run it first kind of a QB, and they're running some option right now. Again, I understand that they have to fit what they have, but I just, it's interesting to me to go out and like go get Jeff Sims and then go get Daniel Kalen. And you're like,
Yeah, they're different, quote unquote, system kind of guys, right? They both fit a different kind of system. So you're saying, well, what system is it? And I'd say they probably want to be a pro style, more pro style offense. My hunch is Jeff Sims was the best player they could get now. And the best thing we can do is run to just make all things even. That's the best, most effective way to have an offense this year with what we got. So that's my guess, is they just said, we'll take Sims. We're going to have to run him for a year. And then hopefully somebody can
come in. Sims was like, you ever been in an airport and you're like, I need to eat in this layover? You know, like,
I'm usually healthy. I usually have greens and, you know, some carbs, a little bit of protein, but guess what we're getting? This, we're getting McDonald's.
Like sometimes, and it's no necessarily, that's not a knock on Sims. Cause you know, like there's value in, I mean, he's a talented player and all that stuff, but like sometimes
we're going to Sparrow.
You have to go to Sparrow and get a big piece of pepperoni pizza that is sat out at gate E5 for 18 straight hours. Michael Scott, remember he went to New York? He loves local pizza places and he was at Sparrow. Love the local pizza. That's so good. That's such a Michael Scott thing. Like, I love going to New York, go to the local pizza place. So I just, the other thing with that, so I just, it's interesting to kind of like, you're right though. I think that's what it was. They looked in the portal. They were at gate E5. Their flight was boarding in 30 minutes. And the only thing that was open was Jeff Sims. And they were like, let's take him. But I also worries maybe a strong word, about painting an attractive picture for skill talent recruits to want to come and play at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Like right now, let's be honest, you're Johnny Post Corner from Louisiana, and you're like getting recruited by Nebraska. You turn on the TV and you're like, and it's not necessarily their fault, but like, I don't know. You don't want to muck around in like unattractive land for too long.
It's weird. I was thinking about this. I don't know if we talked about this yet, but like, I've had this like thought in my head the last week or two, like it's just about like Nebraska's success rate recruiting. I don't think we've recruited terribly, right? I mean, we've had some misses, but I get the sense where we struggle as like, we don't struggle at every position. Seems like we struggle with wide receivers, quarterbacks,
and running backs,
offensive tackles.
Yeah.
We've gotten, I mean, we had some string of pretty decent ones though. I mean,
but it's been like 10 years
in the last decade. We've struggled.
That's the thing. It's like, there's a feeling of Amir was like, that was yesterday. And they're like, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's fair. So that's probably right. But even in that,
but keep going with your thought.
Linebackers.
We could get right.
D tackles. We seem to struggle with D ends, O tackles, quarterbacks and receivers. I would argue those are, when you go to the NFL draft, who goes first?
Those
four. Who's the most important?
Yeah.
Who gets paid? In the game of getting the best players, it's hard. In the game of getting the best players at those positions, it's even harder.
You're right.
And we have been bad.
Yeah.
We cannot get those positions. And I think when you look around, you see why we always like can play close but can't win. It's like, I think we miss at those positions. Those are the positions in my head right now that I'm going, until we start getting some of those guys, I think we're always going to fall towards the average or below average.
I think you're right. Cause I think you just hit on what I was trying to get at with like painting skill an guys. Attractive picture for the skill guys of like, cause it has been, think all of Nebraska's top receivers have had to, they've had to go like take out of the portal. Like, so they haven't been able to sign, develop their own elite wide receiver since Stanley Morgan,
who's a 2018 grad.
Yeah. So like, you know, you had to go get Samari.
He was a 2014 signing.
Yeah. So it's
10 years since we've signed a receiver, which is it's not one quarterback, one or two running backs a year. It's like 3 to 5 receivers every year you sign.
Had to go get kind of wide Noah. You had to go get Samari Toure. You had to go get Trey Palmer.
Yeah.
You had to go like, and now this year you had to go get Billy Kemp. It's Nebraska's inability to get
that position.
I think wide receiver has been the most like, wow, you are not just striking out. You're striking out in spectacular fashion.
Cause you sign what, 3 a year minimum?
Yeah.
Usually
I'd have to go check. Yeah. And you're not hitting 10 years,
30. Like that means we're like 0 for 30.
And you're having to play Cade Warner and Alex Bullock and Wyatt Lever.
Walk on.
Like, and that's not to denigrate those guys, but like you're not using your scholarship. Like
you lucked out.
The reality is the majority of the time, like let's be honest, Alex Bullock being on the field means something kind of didn't go right in the recruiting process.
He can't play at Ohio State. He can't.
Yeah.
There's the backups play over him at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Right.
That's Ohio State. They're 6'8" deep at that position where you're like, whoa, those guys are pretty good. Right.
Yeah.
But that's what they're doing. Like it's a revolving machine there of receivers,
Just elite,
going the pros. Like yep. I get it. Right. But we are surprisingly bad.
So I just worry about that. Like Nebraska struggled with this to begin with. And now this offense is really struggling. And on one hand, you could paint it like, hey, listen, you can come on and get on the field right away. You know, that could be your pitch to these people. But at the same time, you want to play a style that is attractive to these skill talent.
Yeah.
So the direction of the quarterback.
Or you got to get a QB.
That's where the Dylan Raiola thing still like hurts the old heart a little bit. I am going to just blatantly steal something from Sam McEwen. So Sam, I'm just stealing it from you.
It's okay.
I'm stealing Sam McEwen's poll questions on Twitter to ask you. You just put, you know, but listen, you put it on Twitter. It's public property, brother.
It's right.
Hey, brother.
All right. Left it on your driveway. Was it in the street? I couldn't tell. I took it.
Once you put it on the curb, brother, it's right. Anybody's trash now, brother.
One man's trash is another man's treasure, Sam.
So, and this isn't necessarily like I wanted to throw it at you. He's interesting to throw a bell. He put up two poll questions. Curious to get your answer. He said, "What's the best story on the Nebraska football team right now?" Here are your options: the defense, Heinrich Harburg, emerging formula, or nothing jumps out.
Harburg's an interesting. I actually think that's like when you've had a QB change in the first 3 games, I think that's a pretty big story. I mean, the defense, that's a nice little story. Harburg is, I think, what most people are talking about this week. Defense is sort of like it's been good.
Right.
But Harburg is like, what do we got?
Right. The defense is like the, and I guess he did say best story, because there's an issue in best and most interesting. The defense has been the best thing about the team
been best, yes.
But you're right. Like the most interesting thing has been Harburg/just the quarterback situation.
The Sims, like,
Sims being so bad.
The Sims catastrophe to the Harburg, like, emergency change.
Right.
And because, you know, we could say it was a injury thing, but it probably wasn't.
And they're still, yeah, and they keep on being like, he's not 100%. I don't know. Like,
I mean, he was out there.
I don't know.
You can play in a hurt ankle. Like, you can't. It's just, they're like, well, we're going to go with this guy.
Right. I know it's,
if you're not, if you're not 100%, we're going with this guy. If you're 80, we might go with this guy. If you're 60, we're going with this guy.
And I mean, you would know this better than me and anybody, but like, football is the ultimate, like, every week you get further from 100%. You're naturally, you know what I mean? Like, by the time you get,
like, you walk into fall camp and you're like, I'm 100%. By the end of the first day of fall camp, you're like 98. You know, they're like,
well, it's honestly
92,
like, it's like your cell phone battery on a day where you never get to be around a phone charger. Like, you get out of bed, it's a hundo. By the end of the day, you're like, oh, I'm at like 14% here. Like, that's football. So it's like, yeah, nobody's really 100% right now. But I'm with you. I think
bad nights of sleep, you're at 90 in my book. Yeah, exactly. Maybe worse. I might be 50.
I don't get 8 to 9 hours. I'm at 80%.
I'm like a 50 if I have a bad night.
Oh, you're like, can barely turn the phone on if you don't get 8 to 9.
I almost consider, like, sometimes, is it better to not work if I've had a bad night's sleep because I'm that bad? Like, am I doing everybody a favor by me not being?
Have you had yet? Have you had yet with Belle a night where literally the night came and went, and then the day came, and you literally like, well, I didn't sleep.
No, not as much from her. She's actually a good sleeper. I actually had one. This was not last night, the night before. I just woke up at 2-3 in the morning
and couldn't go back to sleep.
And it threw me off all day. It was a long day. And I was like, I am bad.
I've had a couple of one with Mac. Like, I've had some ones with Marv. Basically. We're like, well, there was one night in particular with Mava where, like, literally I was in her room and, like, the sun was coming up. I had not slept and I had my radio show was starting in, like, you know, 3-4 hours. I was like, well, today ought to be interesting. Like, literally have not slept.
That's where you do the coffee and you're like running on, like, the coffee.
Well, adrenaline. you it's weird. Your body, like, I swear your body, like, is storing adrenaline. Like, are we using it?
Yeah.
Are we using it? Like, imagine a ship that's going down. Yeah. Like, God damn it, are we using the adrenaline? Like,
we are.
Throw it in there. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know it.
Yeah, getting through this day. And you're just not sharp at all, but you're just like,
I actually think, like, the first hour, I think I was like, of the show, but I was like kind of wired for it. But then, but afterwards, you eventually are like, your boat is sinking.
And then the Huskers, they're playing who? But, you know,
like, it was like that pretty much. Okay. Second poll question from Sam McEwen. What's your excitement level for Nebraska's game against Michigan? Fired up. I was more juiced for the Colorado game. Sort of into it. Meh.
I was more juiced for Colorado.
So that would be your vote.
That's what I'd say. Yeah. I mean, I'm always excited to watch us play Michigan, but the reality is, oh man, the odds are stacked that it's not just going to be a loss, but it could be it's going to be a litmus test for, can we play with any big boys at all? I mean, I don't think we're going to win. I just think it's like, I hope we don't get clubbed.
Yeah. This would have been nice if it would have been like, check all that apply. Yeah. And I would have checked more juice for the Colorado game. And then I put sort of, I voted sort of into it. It doesn't feel, now it's only Tuesday. It's Tuesday evening here. There doesn't feel like you could, the Colorado week, there was a palpable buzz, even the Minnesota week. Like there was a little something in the air where you're like, you can feel it.
Yeah.
I don't now, maybe by Thursday and Friday, that'll start to change. This is for the number two ranked team in the country, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan, coming off back-to-back college football playoff appearances, for them to be coming to Lincoln, and it's kind of like, it's kind of weird.
I think that's the state of, that's like what we're, I think, maybe how we started this show off. That's where everybody's at. They can't be excited because they know, like, we've done that enough. we're like, we need to see the success before then we'll buy back. I think people are at that point, and we know what this offense is. It's never been good. It hasn't for a moment been like, oh, we're dangerous. Like, we're not dangerous.
Yeah.
We're not. And that's where we're at.
Yeah.
So when you're not dangerous and you're playing Michigan, you're like, I may not be a smart man, but this is going to be a very difficult game, Jenny. Jenny, this is going to be difficult.
I didn't know you were going to land the plane with a. You became Forrest Gump. I did not see that coming.
Nick, no one even including myself.
I loved it. That Bo always had a way of putting things so I can understand, man. I didn't understand until you went Forrest Gump on it. But you're right. Like, I think that's what it is. I think whenever we had, like, you and I maybe recorded two or three different pods where we did, like, run through the schedule prediction.
Yeah.
Like, whenever anybody predicted the season, talked about the schedule, this was the one game on the schedule that people didn't even get. It was like, we're not even going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it's like Nebraska has no shot in that game.
Yeah.
And so I think even the most Kool-Aid chugging Husker fans, when they feel like, I don't feel like Nebraska's got a shot this weekend, that's going to temper your enthusiasm too.
Just now that it's up in the air and we're talking about it, I am excited. I think I know what's going to happen to our offense. I don't think it's going to be pretty.
It's okay.
But the defense is intriguing. I'm going to learn about this defense. You know what? You've been like,
oh, yeah.
Why are you?
Yeah, you've seen.
You've been. I have been. This is the game, Nick, that I learned something.
Right.
I learn what this 3-3-5 is, what these players are, what this massive rotation is when you play a Michigan. This is pinnacle. Big Ten football, power football. Bet they'll do it better than every one of these other teams. So this is it. This is what, like, the hardest thing you can face in the Big Ten is this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the 3-3-5, Tony White, and this squad, what are they? I think we'll know better. We'll really kind of know after this game.
Yeah.
No, maybe they play tough and we're like, God, you know what? They played Michigan tough.
Right.
And we know we got a tough team. But this could, I mean, I don't know. I think they might actually play better than people think.
Yeah, no, but you're right. The most intriguing part of this game, as sad as it sounds, is like not whether Nebraska wins or loses. It's more of like, can the defense kind of like show themselves out to be decent here?
Yeah.
Like that. But yeah, you're right. Like, that's probably that's the hook of this game, probably.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Like,
I'm going to be watching that closely. I'm excited to see that.
You know what it is? The way you've, like, if the defense, you've given, like, the ass out hug to the defense, like the way you hug, like, your aunt or something like that.
Church hug.
The church hug. Like, hey, girl. Hey, yeah. How you been? Where, like, you want to hug like you hugging your girl, where it's like, girl, you better watch yourself.
So you're saying if they play good at Michigan,
you might have give like a real hug.
Ooh, I might.
Break out for a real hug.
Come here, Tony.
Okay. Hey, I got some great and puzzling stats. Then we got our Michigan official prediction.
Okay.
That's what's coming up next. Because there's some stats that make you almost go, man, stats can be misleading.
Yeah.
But I'll get into that. But first, got to tell you about Pella Windows and Doors. The work that they do on the front end with their research with their windows is incredible. They put them through extreme heat, extreme cold, extreme rain weather conditions to make sure that when the windows are installed into your home, they are going to be able to stand up to the elements. So you can have that confidence when those windows are in your home that they are rock solid and fantastic. If you need some windows, you need some a new front door, sliding glass back door, whatever, schedule a free in-home consultation where you get a Pella expert out to your house, and it's free. They're going to be able to sit down with you, go through your wants and needs, and they're going to be able to put a Tony White type of game plan together for your windows.
Three windows up top, five windows there.
We're looking for a 3-3-5 window formations. Tony's like, say no more. I got you. We're going to rotate 18 different windows each day. It's like, no, Tony. We're not so
Tony, you should stick to being a coach, not a Pella Windows installer.
Every day we take one, after each hour, we take one window out. We bring in the backup window. Not quite as good, but you know what?
No, Tony. We leave the windows where they're at.
I would respect Tony White. If Tony White has a house where the windows are, everything's 3-3-5, I'm like, this dude is about that life. I love it. So go to BellaOmaha.com, BellaOmaha.com. And got to tell you about Shoot 360 Lincoln. You know, I haven't talked to you guys a ton about the skills courts where you're working on passing and dribbling. The passing wall is, you know, passing is one of the most underserved skills because, let's be honest, it's kind of boring to work on and you typically need a partner to do it. But the passing walls, they gamify the whole process. And with that technology, with these, the passing wall, they can measure your reaction time, your decision making, and your accuracy. So you're handling the ball, and then all of a sudden, a couple of targets pop up. One's worth 100 points, one's worth 10 points, and they're moving. Well, that 10 points is Draymond Green. That 100 is Steph Curry. So you got to make quick decisions and make an accurate pass. So it's measuring, and you got to hit your target. So you're working on all those things. And it'll improve your game. It'll improve your ball handling. You go 30 minutes in there, you really work on your handle, you work on passing, you are going to become a better player. And I'm telling you, the little kids love the gamification of it. You get bug smash on there where there's an ant crawling and you got to hit it. And kids think like, oh, this is fun. But like you have to accurately pass and hit an ant.
Think about this. The kids absolutely love video games.
Yes.
And this is a chance for parents back. You get to go play like a video game that's so good for you, actually.
It's
going to teach you real skills and you're going to love it, but it's just going to make you a great basketball
player. The genesis of Craig Moody, the founder, the El Presidente of Shoot 360, the aha moment was his son and his friends were sitting inside playing video games on a beautiful day where they could go outside and play basketball. And he was like, why don't you guys go outside and play basketball? And they're like, yeah, we'd rather do this. And in his mind, I think they were playing like NBA 2K.
Yeah.
And in his mind, I was like, man, if I could find a way to have a video game and basketball, like I would really have something. And that's kind of what this is.
Yeah.
So it's cool. Kids love the skills courts and everything with the gamification of it. So check them out or check us out. Shoot360.com/Lincoln. Become a member. Fill out the I'm interested form. October 14th. It is go time, my friends. Go time. Okay, you ready for some great and puzzling stats here? A little puzzling here. Nebraska, number one rush defense in America.
It's pretty good.
Not bad. Nebraska, sixth best rushing offense in America.
It's not bad.
Nebraska, I think they're 13th, but it'll just go top 15. Nebraska, top 15 in sacks in the country. If someone would have told you, us, me, that, hey, heading into the Michigan game, Nebraska's going to have the number one rush defense, the number six best rushing offense and be top 15 in sacks, I would have been like, holy shit, is Nebraska 4-0? Is Nebraska, I mean, at worst, they're 3-1.
Yeah.
Are they 4-0 and have they looked like great? And are, like, is everybody feeling great? And you're like, not quite. And so it's just interesting how there are two takeaways with that. How sometimes stats can maybe be a little misleading.
Yeah,
but it also goes to continue to drive home the Dirk Chatelain article from years ago that no stat is more important than turnovers.
Yeah,
like that tells the tale of the season more than anything else. But like those are top 10 rushing offense, rush defense, top 15 in sacks. Like you can run the ball, stop the run, and sack the quarterback. You're like, fuck, let's go.
Yeah, you can't ask for more than that, right?
Yeah,
at this point,
kind of weird.
Kind of weird, but yeah, you said turnovers, and then you know we'd look at our offense. That's the real story of the year.
You better take care of the ball, and you better have some dudes that can, when they get the ball, can really make something happen.
Yeah,
and Nebraska is a little void of those things. Okay, real quick, Rhule and Marcus Satterfield in their press conferences, nothing too earth shattering. Matt Rhule is kind of non-committal about Sims and Harburg. You know, he did the whole thing. He's like, I'm really not trying to play games with this. He was like, both quarterbacks are kind of the same. So it's not like Michigan probably prepares dramatically different for each one.
Yeah.
But he was kind of noncommittal on who it would be. He said Luke Reimer was questionable for the game. You're like, oh, yeah. Yikes, Reimer. You get with Miyagi, please. Satterfield said Harburg was a full go in practice on Tuesday, which is good because he tightened up at the end of that Louisiana Tech game. He did say that Sims and Harburg are splitting reps. Who knows? And then the other thing that was interesting is Josh Fleeks is transitioning from wide receiver to running back.
Okay.
Goes to show you
That shows you our depth.
The sitch, the situation.
That shows you how they feel about the young guys.
Yeah. Where you're having to grab fleeks and say,
yeah,
they want to go be the running back. I'm surprised Tommy Hill, like, I'll do it, coach. And they're like,
Tommy,
perfect.
Good.
You want 25 carries against the number two ranked team?
We got three so important plays for the running back. You're going to get them, Tommy, just as always.
Tommy, here's what we can offer you today. A reverse, 25 carries from the running back position.
Halfback pass.
Two go routes, a reverse pass, and starting corner spot. Do you accept?
Of course. I do.
And the kickoff returner.
But you're not going to be a starter at any position.
But you're not starting at any of those positions, but you're going to get all that. I don't know. You and I both have said, I think it should be Harburg. I think it will be Harburg. Yep. But be interested to see how do you let Harburg play through a bad quarter? Do you let Harburg play through a bad turnover?
I think if a guy's bad enough after a quarter, you could bring somebody and give Sims a series. Most of the time, though, I think we saw this at both Minnesota and Colorado, where after a full half, you go into halftime, you know, there was a lot of people saying, do you bring somebody in now?
Yeah.
I don't think after a quarter, it feels pretty quick, right?
It does. Quarter, because you might have like three or four, you might have two possessions in a quarter.
You might get two possessions, you know? Right? So, yeah, you could have a couple bad ones where it's like two terrible picks. You know, maybe it's like, hey, bring somebody in there and go sit down and think about it. Almost as like a just chill.
Yeah.
But if you give somebody a half and they've been bad for a half, you really consider the next half, I'm bringing in somebody to try to win this game.
Yeah. If Nebraska's got 0 points at halftime and Harburg has a bad interception and the offense has like two first downs and he's not played well.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go to Sims there.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of a difference between I'm giving this guy like, I give somebody else a series to let him just like sit
right
and just chill and reassess versus like we're making a change.
Yeah.
Making a change, I think, usually happens at halftime.
I totally agree.
You know what I mean?
Totally
we're making agree. A change.
Right.
I remember, I'm even thinking to like Tua in the national championship game. Like,
yeah.
They went into halftime and they're like, we're going with this freshman.
We're going with Tua.
We're going with Tua.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And Jalen Hurts is not a bad quarterback. He was like a junior at the time. Like,
yeah.
They went with Tua because, like, they went, we have a better chance of winning, I think, with this guy right now.
Yeah, the offense needed a little something. Yeah. So, yeah, just be interesting to watch. I do think Harburg will be out there first, and we'll see how he plays. I mean, if he plays well, obviously he's going to stay in there.
If he plays really bad, I think that's one where if he plays a really bad half and Sims is ready to go, I wouldn't put it past Rule to be like, let's give Sims a try.
Yeah. And I'm not, I don't necessarily have a problem with that either.
I don't think it matters.
I think they're both pretty much very similar.
I think what matters is I think it should be Harburg going.
I was going to say, I think the only thing that quote unquote matters is that Harburg starts the game. I think he needs to start the game.
I think it's just like we talked about the confidence thing last week, that the team seems more confident with Harburg right now. And that is the big one, at least from the outsider's point of view. It seems like we've been better with him. And
I agree.
That to me seems like the right play.
So Michigan is favored by 17 points. I mean, Michigan so far has played a really weak schedule. They've had all home games. They played East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers. All the scores were similar, 30-3, 35-7, 31-6, 31-6. I wouldn't say they've been great so far, but at the same time, this is still a team that has gone to the college football playoff 2 years in a row. They return a lot of dudes, including their starting quarterback and star running back. What I wrote down first was what you hit on. I think this is going to be the most exciting thing this is a great test for Nebraska's defense, especially to stop the run. I just cannot wait to see what that looks like. But for me, I wrote down, this feels like a game for Nebraska to have a chance to win, ... Here are a few things I wrote down. You need to somehow win the turnover battle.
Yep.
Somehow. I don't know how that's going to work, but you got to find a way to be on the right side of that stat.
Yep.
it also feel, does this, doesn't this game feel like you need one of those X factor plays, like a pick six, a blocked punt, a blocked kick? Yeah. Like you need one of those weird plays.
Oh, I mean, for a real chance to win.
For
it,
a real
I don't think there's any way to win it without something like that.
I guess,
that.
Yeah, like, I should say. Like
Michigan, like.
Maybe rephrase that. Yeah. For Nebraska not even have a chance. Like, these have to happen.
They have to have at least one of those, like, outlier plays.
Right.
You said pick six, block punt. Something like that. And they probably have to control the clock. That's probably the only way they can win.
I see what's tough is
how do you control the
clock? Because what's funny is that runs counter to what I then wrote down.
Well, Nick, the answer is you can control the clock against Minnesota. I don't think you can control the clock against this good of a defense.
No,
you got to be able to handle this defense. I just don't know.
I actually wrote down that Nebraska needs a couple of big chunk plays somehow, because like they need Grant to get loose for a 70-yard run.
Okay, so let's think about that. So
because I just don't see how they're going to be able to.
That might be right. So do we need to just make big plays and then hopefully our defense plays out of their mind?
If I'm being real, like I get that.
Yeah, like, how do you
want to come in and you want to like.
We'd love to control the ball.
Yes, again. Totally, but, like, get
what's
that.
Realistic.
But let's
is
be
the
real.
Realistic way to win, not the blueprint we'd like, because we can't do it. But like, we've got to sort of roll the dice more and get maybe the odds will fall our way. Like not just get lucky, but like we put ourselves in a situation to get lucky. Like we're going to throw the deep ball. We're going to do the play action or the trick play and hope for a pick six, block punt, and 17-14.
Honestly, pull off what you just said it to me is like how Nebraska wins 17-14, 21-17 is pick six or a turnover that sets up a touchdown at the 2-yard line. And then a trick play. Like, think about it. Nebraska, that's how they scored against Minnesota.
Yeah.
And they had to have a trick play on the fake field goal to keep a drive alive. To score. Like, I mean, this is a game where if you're Michigan, Nebraska is going to run a trick play in this game.
We've probably got to.
You have to.
We can't light up and do what we want to do, which I think, you know, maybe for stretches we can do what we want, but not a whole game against Michigan. I think the talent difference is the show, but we have to be, we probably are going to have to roll the dice if we want to score points.
You're going to have to run a reverse pass. You're going to have to run a halfback pass. Yeah, you're going to have to run. I don't even like a flea flicker, cause you're not going to be able to block for that long. Like it's gotta be one of those kinds of fake punt.
It sucks.
I hate to be like that, but
You don't want to do those things. If you don't feel like you're explosive, you want to like just protect the ball, give yourself, but like, the reality is depending on how, this is where maybe you change your, like if all of a sudden you go, this defense is stoning them.
Yeah.
You can maybe be a little bit more conservative.
Yeah. Say,
but if you don't think you can stop them, like we want to stop them, then you got to manufacture points by taking risks.
That's where it's just to me,
it's like a risk thing.
So it's got
to dial down the risk if the defense is unbelievable.
Right.
And then you try to like win the real way. But if we can't stop them, it's gonna be a long night, because then we have to increase our risk on offense.
There needs to be a defensive touchdown or a defense setup sets up a touchdown, a block punt, a trick play.
Either way, the defense has to win it.
Yes, and then I also think like kind of like how last game there was like these big long runs. Like, now those are gonna be hard to do against Michigan, but you need to find a way to. I have a hard time feeling like, and wow, Nebraska caps off a 13 play, 75-yard drive, like. I don't see that happening. I see, Nebraska goes 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, and then somehow squirts a Grant got loose for an 80-yarder.
Yeah.
That seems more real. We'll see.
I just, like I said, this offense right now, my confidence is so low with, like, the grinded out style or the explosive style. That's the hard part.
I know, because Nebraska's offense can't go through those long lulls that they've been going through. You do that against Michigan, and more likely than not, Michigan's gonna pull away.
Yeah.
You know, if Nebraska's, I mean, they've every game so far this year, Nebraska's had a half, and it's almost always been the first half where, let's be honest, they've been awful.
Yeah.
And if you do that against Michigan, it's going to be 24-0.
Well, then they'll get up, and then they can grind.
And then they can grind you down.
A team that is like, that is their, they're the best in the country, probably, like grinding out the third quarter. So like, we can't get down. We got to get up to give ourselves a chance. Yeah, it's got to be like a miracle first half, essentially, is what we have to have.
I'd hate to put this out into the universe, but you know what I'm really nervous about? I don't feel great about Harburg or Sims running the option to pitch it.
Yeah.
And I think Michigan is going to have a week to get ready for the option. And we talked about this a little bit, but I just am picturing, like, here's Harburg on the option. Oh, he pitched it and it's errant and it's fun. Like, I feel like, and I hate to put this out there into the world, this feels like a bad pitch fumble. And the problem is, a bad pitch fumble on an option could be a scoop and score.
Josh Fleeks in the game for the first time. He's on the pitch. Oh, he's not ready for it. You
know, like, I'm nervous about that.
First time running back.
But what's hard is you got to run option because it's Nebraska's unique way of trying to move the ball. I don't trust them.
What they do. Sorry, I've been still yawning. We'll see how much they are going to do with that this week. I mean, is that going to be like, this is the staple of our offense?
I don't know, because what's hard about that is we were talking about, think about Eric Crouch. Eric Crouch grew up in Nebraska watching the option. Now, I don't know what he did in youth football, but he goes to Millard North. By the time, you know, the whole outliers, like, you know, you get 10,000 hours, like that dude had 10,000 hours of option football. So by the time he got to Nebraska, I mean, the guy was a motherfucking machine running the option.
Yeah, he was great.
He was awesome at it. Had great when to pitch, how to read it, when to set, you know, like fake pitch, go. Like, yeah, you know, kind of had thing. It.
Tommy could always cut back too. He always had like the,
yes,
knowing when to cut back. That's the
right
half of that. You know, it's such an important
thing. Oddly enough, I always thought Adrian Martinez kind of naturally ran the option decently well.
Pretty good.
Like he could fake pitch it, and like he was pretty good at it. But yeah. I just, when I watch Harburg run the option, I'm like,
ooh. He's a little statue-y when he moves. You know, he's just a big guy, and I think he's got big feet. I think he's one of those guys that, like, he looks like it's like he's got like size 15 feet. So it's like it kind of just
whew, it just makes, I just around. I hate to put that in the universe. Maybe I'm putting it out there so the universe will like react to it and then shut it down. But I just a little nervous about that.
Yeah.
My prediction is, I actually think the defense is going to perform okay. I think this game is going to be a little reminiscent of the Colorado game. Like, I think the defense is going to, they'll be juiced.
Yeah.
They're going to play physical. I think they're going to eventually wear out. Bo, I hate to do, I just don't, how does Nebraska's offense score more than 7 points?
We couldn't score against
Minnesota.
Minnesota in Colorado's bad defense. You know, like, what are we going
to
do?
So I'm going to say 30-7 Michigan wins.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I'm really, like, right now I'm trying. Like, I started this episode being like, I want to be more positive. But right now, really picture Nebraska's offense on the field against Michigan's defense. And how are they going to score?
I just don't see. I mean, I just think every time we play Michigan, we can't score.
Right.
Except for the 21 year.
That was it. Other than that,
some amazing plays. It was an amazing game. We still lost, but like every other time we've played them,
they
can't score.
They have grown. Like, almost every other time Nebraska played Michigan, it's looked like varsity versus JV, other than the 21 game.
Yep.
But Frost's first year, it was varsity JV. Last year, it was varsity JV.
Yeah.
Now, I don't, will it look like that again this year? I don't know. I just, offensively, given the quarterback situation, the running back situation, the wide receiver situation, and the makeup of their defense, I'm just, how do they score 21 points? How do they score 14
points? I wouldn't bet on it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't bet really. I'm not a bettor, but the things that, if you ask me, would you bet on something? That's how you really know how you feel. I go, I would not bet.
Better chance. Here's a good way to put it. Is there a better chance Nebraska gets shut out or scores 21 points?
The better chance is it's probably shut out.
I know that's a sobering way to kind of wrap this up, but I think there's a better chance. If you're asking me which is more likely,
21 or
21
zero.
Points or zero.
Yeah, because it's not closest to.
Yes.
It's either or.
Yeah, I'm not saying like if it, if you, yeah, it's just what, which outcome is more likely? 0 points or 21 or more points? I don't know. So
I just think Michigan, can we get 21? I just think, man, that seems, we could. It just seems like we'd have to have an outlier play.
Yeah. Like the great variable in that is, was there a pick six? Was there a setup touchdown from a turnover, a block punt, whatever. But if there isn't, I don't see how this offense is going to be able to score enough. So I'm going 30-7, but that doesn't mean I'm interested to see what Harburg looks like. I'm interested to see what the quarterback situation looks like. I'm interested to see how Satterfield and Rule can manufacture some chunk plays. I'm interested. And then most importantly, I'm interested to see how the defense, this is the number one rush on paper, number one rush defense in America. Small sample size, 4 games, but like number one rush defense in the country going against Michigan. Okay, here we go.
Best rush team in America.
So here we go. We'll see good on good what that looks like. Okay, that'll do it. Look at us tight with an hour. We'll be back for the recap pod, Nebraska, Michigan. Be interested to see what that looks like. And then it's a short week for Illinois on Friday night the following week. So should we go check on Ned Flanders? Make sure he's still Oakley Dokley.
He's being spanked.
He's being spanked. Good.
A Herd at Sports Network production.